Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Well, good morning to you. Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo, who is in Italy somewhere where it's always beautiful. We got a great show for you coming up today on Catholic Connection. Carlo Broussard of Catholic Answers joins us. He'll talk about the saints in heaven, how they help us here on earth. We will find out how you can shop Catholic-owned businesses for this Christmas. I know so many of us are already in the shopping mode. And Gail Buckley-Berringer joins us with the Bible verse of the week. It's going to be a great hour, so I hope you've got some time to spend with us. And today, well, it's Monday, November 4th, my husband's birthday. That's neither here nor there. Happy birthday to him, though. But it's the Feast of St. Charles Borromeo, one of my favorite saints. Now, he lived during very difficult times in the church and in the world. It was in the 16th century, and you know all sorts of things happened during that time period. He was actually made a cardinal at the age of 23, even before he became a priest. That actually is a law within the Vatican. You just don't see it very often today. But he is now known as a great reformer, and he's also known for the sacrifices that he gave out of love for Christ and his church. And Teresa has a nice little article on her social media about St. Charles Borromeo. I've got a little statue of him right here in front of me, a little pewter statue. And of course, it is the day before the election. Anyone else tired of the election? Yeah, bring it on, I guess, right? I mean, it's a very pivotal election, especially for life. Our two presidential candidates differ wildly on abortion rights, and abortion is on the ballot in some way in 10 states, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Montana, South Dakota, Florida, Missouri, New York, Maryland, and Nebraska. Now, several of these states already have very liberal abortion laws that allow abortion in all 9 months of pregnancy. That's the case in Colorado and Maryland. But these initiatives that they have on the ballot, they want to enshrine abortion in the state constitution, which will make it virtually impossible to change that law in the future, so really a safeguard. Now, in New York, they're going even further with what's being called the Equal Rights Amendment. And this not only will allow abortion up to the moment of birth, it gives rights to children who seek an abortion or gender-affirming care without actually having their parents notified. So it's absolutely crazy. In Missouri and South Dakota, they have laws on the books that protect life with very few exceptions. They're two very, very pro-life states. The initiatives that they have there would expand access to abortion through viability, which is always one of those things that is just kind of nebulous. They always say it's up to a healthcare provider, but remember, healthcare providers can often be the receptionist at an abortion clinic. And this, again, would make it very difficult to change those laws in the future. They want to enshrine it in the Constitution. Now, Florida is another state that is very pro-life, and they've got a ban on abortions after 6 weeks. This just took effect in May. If the amendment passes that's on the ballot tomorrow, it would expand abortion until viability or beyond. And again, if a woman gets approval from a healthcare professional. Montana's amendment, this is a vote for or against keeping the current law of 24 weeks, and Nevada and Arizona will have the opportunity to vote on keeping their current laws as well. Now, in Nebraska, there are two competing abortion ballot initiatives. This is really interesting. One of them, 434, would keep the current ban on abortions after 24 weeks. Now, it's not perfect, but it is something that the bishops in Nebraska and many, many churches got behind, because it is the lesser of two evils. They're trying to save as many children as they possibly can, and this has a very good chance of passing. The other amendment is 439, and it would essentially enshrine a right to abortion right up to viability again, which is nebulous, and It's a very scary thing, so we'll see what happens tomorrow with that. Over 70 million people have already voted, because here we are, the day before the election, and early voting has been a big thing, mail-in ballots as well. But if those who have not gone to the polls yet and go tomorrow do not vote pro-life, the lives of millions of unborn children will be on the line. So many of these state ballot initiatives that we just talked about, they've been funded by almost all of them, in fact, by national abortion providers and billionaires with deep pockets. They've already passed in some states in previous elections. And their goal is to get the right to abortion enshrined in the Constitution in every state, so it won't matter who's president. It won't matter what happens at the national level. They're doing it state by state, and they're using lies and scaring women into believing we will have no rights. And it just isn't true. You see a number of stories on secular media of women in states where abortion laws are restrictive. Now, these women report their suffering because they could not get an abortion. And yes, these stories are very sad, but they are very few and much further between than the media would have you believe. And there's actually a network out there of getting these stories reported and fed to national media so they can continually get it in front of voters who think, oh, this is terrible. But here's the truth. If you read between the lines, you can easily see that these tragedies aren't due to abortion laws. They're due to misinformation about abortion laws. Doctors who are afraid to treat these women and turn them away, they're afraid of prosecution, but typically it's because they simply do not understand the laws. And if they did, they would understand exactly what life-saving treatment they could provide, and it's there. Or there are women who just aren't sure of the law, so they don't seek the appropriate care. A lot of it is misinformation. And I don't know about you, but this drives me crazy. I find it maddening and so sad. And you hear it on secular media all the time. Interviews with women who are voters who talk about how important they think it is to vote for abortion because of their daughters. Well, I was once pro-choice, so I do understand how warped this thinking can be. It seems like a good thing that you should have autonomy over your body, right? But we know that when you become pregnant, it's no longer just your body. You've got another human body in yours. And in that womb, it should be the safest place on earth for a child. But it isn't. You know, somehow we have lost that PR battle here. Pro-abortion candidates and groups, they have done a great job at making Americans think choosing a right to abortion is the most compassionate thing to do. We know better. We know that we simply cannot sacrifice our children just for our convenience. Abortion not only hurts children, it scars the woman for life and those who love her. This can't be the best thing that we can do for women, is it? Well, you know, no matter what happens tomorrow, we know that we're going to need to keep fighting this great battle against the evil of abortion. So here we are, the day before election. What can we do today? Well, you probably have some great ideas. Pray and sacrifice, and then in the end, we can only trust in our Lord, right? And it's about 8 minutes past the hour, and time for news. Well, the twisters are gone, but Oklahoma City Fire Battalion Chief Scott Douglas says the danger remains.
We have a lot of down power lines. We have a lot of flooded areas still in these neighborhoods. And in those flooded areas, you don't know what's underneath. It may be missing sewage covers, some down power lines that you may not know, some sharp glass, sharp hazards. So the area is still deemed very dangerous.
Nearly a dozen people were hurt over the weekend as the weather turned violent. No word yet on how long it will take to finish damage assessments. Testimony resumes today in the manslaughter trial of the Long Island Marine veteran charged in the subway chokehold death of Jordan Neely, Scott Pringle reports.
The jury was shown new police body cam footage last week of officers who responded to the deadly chokehold on the New York City subway last year. Now, during opening statements on Friday, prosecutors said that Daniel Penny needlessly choked Jordan Neely for 6 minutes and that he knew doing so would result in death. Penny's defense team says Neely was threatening subway riders and Penny tried protecting them while putting some of the blame for Neely's death on a slow medical response.
California's Bay Area is bracing for power outages on Election Day. Pacific Gas and Electric says it may be forced to shut off service tomorrow in around six counties to prevent wildfires due to high winds and dry conditions. The company says it's taking proactive measures to keep the lights on at polling places and will explain more about the plan later today. New York Governor Kathy Hochul sparks outrage by calling New Yorkers who vote for Donald Trump or Republican candidates who support him anti-American and anti-women. David Folk Thomas reports.
Hochul making the comment Saturday on MSNBC. The New York Post reports the governor received backlash from both Republicans and Democrats, with state Republican Party Chairman Ed Cox saying Hochul had smeared at least one half of American voters. Former New York Democrat Congressman Max Rose said it's never a good thing to identify a large segment of voters as un-American. According to a recent Siena College poll, only 36% of New Yorkers give Hochul a favorable rating.
New fencing is up around various locations in Washington, D.C., as security measures are being taken before Election Day. Mark Mayfield has more.
The fencing went up around the White House, U.S. Capitol, and Vice President Harris's home. Plans are also in place, according to the Washington Post, for security measures outside of the Florida Convention Center, where former President Trump is going to host an event on election night.
Boeing machinists will vote on a new contract offer today that could end a seven-week-old strike. The International Association of Machinists, which represents about 33,000 workers, has endorsed a tentative deal that would offer 38% wage raises over 4 years. Union members, however, also want their pension plan to return. The new offer does not include that. A man accused of shooting a Jewish man near a synagogue in the Chicago community of West Rogers Park this past weekend now faces terrorism and hate crime charges. Sidi Muhammad Abdulhali already faced dozens of charges, including attempted first-degree murder, after police say he shot the victim Saturday morning. Chicago Police Superintendent Larry Snelling said detectives uncovered evidence on the suspect's cell phone that indicated he planned the shooting and specifically targeted Jewish people. The victim was treated and released from the hospital. A man falls to his death from the third floor of a building while watching the New York City Marathon. David Folk Thomas has more.
A day of celebration and triumph turning to tragedy after the 24-year-old died in Brooklyn. The New York Post reports it happened around 12:30 p.m. Sunday as the runners were passing near the 11th mile checkpoint by the Williamsburg Bridge. It's believed the victim was watching the race when he fell. He was rushed to a nearby hospital and pronounced dead. Police are investigating but do not suspect foul play.
We fell back in time yesterday with the end of daylight saving time. The time change affects people in different ways. Some may experience seasonal affective disorder or SAD.
Depression linked to lack of sunlight because we get less sun exposure after we fall back. And a lot of people find their moods take a real dive.
Dr. Don Buckland with WorkCare says it's hard to shift to starting our day in the dark and ending it in the dark. Clock changes also disrupt our sleep, metabolism, and stress levels. Changes in sleep can make us feel tired or irritable and even increase our appetite. Disrupting our natural sleep cycle can also affect our movement and reaction times, raising the risk of injury. Kids and early risers suffer most from clock changes. Buckland does say when we fall back, we do see fewer heart attacks and strokes. And finally in the news, famed songwriter, record producer, and performer Quincy Jones has died. The 28-time Grammy winner passed away Sunday at his home in Bel Air, California at the age of 91. Quincy Jones was widely considered to be one of the most influential jazz artists of the 20th century and produced for many other artists, most notably Michael Jackson, including a collaboration with Michael and Lionel Richie on the 1985 charity single, We Are the World. Quincy Jones was inducted into Cleveland's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2013. And that is your news. It's 14 minutes past the hour, and here we are in November, in this month where we think of the saints and our loved ones in heaven. We're going to be talking with Carlo Broussard of Catholic Answers about a new book that he has out, The Saints Pray for You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth. That is next. Stay with us on Catholic Connection.
How would you like to celebrate the Divine Mercy at the Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Poland on Divine Mercy Sunday? Well, you can. Steve Ray here, inviting you to join us in Poland as we follow the footprints of John Paul II, Maria Faustina, and Maximilian Kolbe. Daily Mass at the most iconic, beautiful churches and delicious local foods. Join us in April for Divine Mercy Sunday in Poland.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
You're listening to Catholic Connection. I'm Sherry Brownrigg, in for Teresa Tomeo, who is in Italy right now, and it's the Feast of St. Charles Borromeo. And if you follow her on social media, you know she's got a great article about that wonderful saint. So head over there to Teresa Tomeo, wherever you see her on social media, and you can read about that. Happy feast day. Well, I've been looking forward to this interview all morning long. Carlo Broussard, a name you probably know from Catholic Answers. He is with us. He's a staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers and a member of the Chancery Evangelization Team at the Diocese of Tulsa and Eastern Oklahoma. He's got a new book out, and it sounds incredibly wonderful. The Saints Pray for You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Hey, Carlo, thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Hey, Sherry, you're welcome, and thanks for having me. It's a joy and a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always a joy to talk about our faith, isn't it? And we just came off of All Saints Day and All Souls Day, so this, of course, is something that we're thinking about a lot. Give me just a little snapshot of this book. I mean, when we think of saints, you know, we all have our favorite saints. I just talked a minute ago about St. Charles Borromeo. He's one of my favorite saints for particular reasons. But what is it with this saint thing with Catholics?
Yeah, so we set out to produce a book, a single volume, that would include sort of a good survey of the best arguments for and against our Catholic belief and practice of the invocation and veneration of the saints. So it's an apologetics book, and, you know, it's one of the number one asked questions on Catholic Answers Live and at Catholic.com, ranked up there at the top with Purgatory. And according to anecdotal evidence as well, and conversations that we have The intercession of the saints is always a topic that people ask about. You would think that it's a dead horse that's being beaten because it's a sort of one of those initial questions that is often asked, and we've dealt with it plenty of times at Catholic Answers and within popular apologetics, but it still weighs heavy on the hearts and minds of folks, both Catholic and non-Catholic alike, as I point out in the introduction. And so, Sherry, what I set out to do is to, for example, in Chapter 1, talk about who and what a saint is and just establish exactly what's our target for the book. And then I go through arguments in favor of the Catholic belief that the saints in heaven are actually able to intercede for us, that even though they are separated souls and they're in an unnatural state of existence, they still are able to intercede and pray for us. And there are many challenges that our Protestant friends pose to that idea and say, hey, they're dead, they're in the afterlife, there's no way they can know the affairs of men on earth, and so it's a futile task to even ask for their intercession. And so I deal with many of those challenges, about 7 objections to that idea in total, that I coach you through and try to help somebody overcome to see that they're able to intercede for us. And then I provide evidence that they do, in fact, intercede for us. And then I ask the question, well, is it appropriate for us to invoke them? So I give some arguments in favor of that position, that yes, it is good to invoke the saints to pray for us. But then our Protestant brothers and sisters, Sherry, have some very, very challenging objections to the appropriateness of invoking the saints. And so I deal with them, about 9 or 10 of them in total. And then finally, in the last part of the book, I deal with the veneration of the saints, just the honor, distinguishing the honor that we show them versus the honor we show God, and then also venerating them with images and relics, etc.
Carla, what is, and maybe I should just say what are, because there's probably more than one, but what are the chief arguments that come from Protestants that we as Catholics might come up against?
Yeah, so the dialectic or the conversation might go something like this. You know, it starts off with, well, if you ask Mary to pray for you, that somehow takes away from Jesus. Because 1 Timothy 2:5 says he's the one mediator between God and man. And so the Catholic response is, hey, look, you know, if asking Mary to pray for us is going to take away from Jesus, then me asking you to pray for me is going to take away from Jesus. But that's absurd, right? So we kind of tease out the logic of that objection and try and show that mutual Christian intercessory prayer doesn't take away from Christ because it's done in, through, and with Christ. The saints in heaven are members of the mystical body of Christ, and so they're in Christ and thereby establish the unique mediation of Jesus by praying for us. And once you deal with that, then the counter response is, okay, well they're dead. And so there are 2 reasons why they appeal to that. Number one, they might think, well, because they're dead, they're not able to pray for us. And then I provide answers in response to that and show, yes, they are able to pray for us in virtue of certain graces that God gives them to enhance the intellect in their separated, the state of existence that was separated. So, and then the counter response is, well, it's an abominable practice to communicate with the dead. Isn't that necromancy from Deuteronomy 18 through 12? And then, of course, we respond to that and show, no, once you do understand what necromancy is, that is to say, inquiring knowledge from the dead by conjuring up their spirits apart from God, then you can see that the invocation of the saints is not that, and so we don't fall prey to that abominable practice in Deuteronomy 18. And so that's kind of sort of a summary of how the conversation normally goes and the different routes it takes.
And if we don't know this as Catholics, then we might ourselves think, gosh, why do we do this? Gee, I shouldn't be doing this. And that's really sad because the saints actually are such incredible helps for us in our walk with Christ.
Yeah, absolutely, Sherry. And that's what I point out in the introduction and the conclusion of my book, is that one of the purposes of the book is to try to help people realize that there are other brothers and sisters in the household of God that folks can have a relationship with, right? And that these blessed in heaven were not cut off from them, but that we're more united to them than they were here on earth, and that we can have a relationship with them, and they, by God's divine will and design, are there to help us in our walk with the Lord so that we can grow in knowledge and love of our Lord and persevere in that friendship with our Lord. And that's the whole purpose of the intercessory prayer of the saints.
I think about St. Therese of Lisieux, who was very consumed, died very early, and she was really consumed and rightly so, with making sure that once she got to heaven that she could spend that eternity helping all of us here on earth who need that help. Talk a little bit about how the saints really do help us.
Well, they help us in a variety of ways. So, number one, they help us generally speaking. They have a sort of a general disposition of intercessory prayer for God's people here on earth. But then they also intercede for us in specific ways. So if we make a specific request, then we can have confidence that that particular saint will intercede that that request be granted to us in accord with God's divine will. And not only in spiritual ways, but also, Sherry, as we know, they can intercede and help us in concrete physical ways. So one of the things in theology we know is that pure spiritual entities like angels, demons, and separated souls, they can actually affect the material universe. So when you lose your keys, St. Anthony can put those keys in front of you.
Well, let's talk more about that. We're up against a break right now because there are so many saints who are willing to help us. Carlo Broussard is with us, author of The Saints Pray For You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth. More to come right here on Catholic Connection. Please stay with us.
"60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa."
Take a look at our website, EWTN.com, and the old programs. I've so far gone through the encyclicals on Jesus, which is Redemptor Hominis, on God the Father, Divas and Misericordia, and on the Holy Spirit, Dominum et Vivificantem. Also the one on the Gospel of Life, Evangelium Vitae, and the one on Redemptoris Mater, Mother of the Redeemer. So I've gone through five of those, and you can get those off of our website. Again, the website is www.ewtn.com. And then when you go to libraries, what you can do is go to the audio library, and the audio library will have the old programs. They're all there, and you can just access them that way. May God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's the definition of frustration? Frustration is the difference between the way it is and the way you want it to be. It's hard to change the way it is. The way it is sometimes is other people, life, circumstances. The way you want it to be is in your power to change. You can close the gap between reality and what you want. The smaller that gap, the less your frustration. It is always easier to change oneself than to change reality. Frustration isn't always what happens out there. It is how we look at what happens out there.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. Sherry Brown Riggin for Teresa Tomeo and the incredible Carlo Broussard, who is a staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers, a member of the Chancery Evangelization Team at the Diocese of Tulsa and Eastern Oklahoma, is with us. He's got a brand new book, and it's called Saints Pray For You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth. You can find it at the Catholic Answers shop, shop.catholic.com. Saints Pray For You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth. And Carlo, right before the break, you were talking about some of those great saints who we know that we go to, like St. Anthony, when we lose those keys and they're there. Can you give us a couple of other examples about how the saints help us?
Yes. So that was to try and illustrate that the saints help us in a very concrete and physical way, because they can manipulate, according to God's providence, the material world. So when it comes to finding material things, they can help us out in that way, right? But they also can help us out by bringing about certain miracles through their intercessory prayer. And this is a section of the book that I'm almost most excited about, because I'll only give four examples, and there are more, but I think it's important in conversations to share with people that, hey, we have confirmed miracles that are specifically brought about through the intercessory prayer of these saints. So I look at some healing miracles brought about through the intercession of Saint Padre Pio. I look at Fulton J. Sheen's intercessory, miraculous intercession with regard to James Engstrom, who was a child who was born stillborn, and after 61 minutes of cardiac arrest was immediately brought back to a perfect state of health, specifically through the intercessory prayer of Fulton Sheen, and that happened in 2010. I look at a miracle that was brought about through the intercessory prayer of Pope St. John Paul II with regard to a woman named Floribeth Mora Diaz, and then St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Through her intercession, there was a healing miracle that was brought about. And so although these are extraordinary events and not the ordinary effects of their intercessory prayer, it is indeed true that sometimes their intercessory prayer brings about miraculous effects. And that provides evidence for the fact that they do intercede for us, and that it's good and appropriate to invoke them, and that when we do so, we can have confidence that they will intercede for sure. And sometimes whenever it's in accord with God's divine will, the actual request of the whatever we're asking for specifically can be brought about. And so that's an interesting section of the book that I think can be helpful for people in conversations, especially with their Protestant brothers and sisters, to say, hey, look, we got miraculous evidence, too. Not only biblical evidence, but miraculous evidence.
What do Protestants mainly say when they're confronted with this evidence? You mentioned before that they say, well, this takes away from Christ, but it's not the saint that does the miracle, it's Christ, right?
That is correct, yes. So that would be one point to make in conversations with our Protestant friends and say, hey, look, insofar as we say that this miraculous effect is brought about through the intercessory prayer of St. John Paul II, say, we're not saying that they have the power of themselves to bring about the miraculous effect. They are mere instruments of God's power and God's divine omnipotence to bring about this miraculous effect. So Pope St. John Paul II performing this miracle through his prayers no more takes away from Christ than, say, Peter heals the paralyzed man in the book of Acts takes away from the power of Christ.
Yeah. Because it's all through Christ. And, you know, it's always made sense to me when I think about the saints in heaven. They are there with our Lord. They have the beatific vision, and they're there with our Lord. And that divine friendship, if you will, is so incredible that it would seem to me to be odd if it didn't produce this kind of result, you know, if it didn't produce
Absolutely.
This kind of miracle.
Yes, I actually argue that very thing in my book, and it's based on charity, right? So think about this, Sherry. It's charity. It's the love of God that is the principle of our intercessory prayer for each other here on earth. Wouldn't it be very unfitting and odd that we would be able to exercise that degree of charity in this life, but not be able to exercise that same degree of charity in the next, when we're actually perfected in charity in the beatific vision? That seems extremely unfitting. So heaven would be a inferior state than this state of existence if the saints in heaven could not and would not pray for us.
Hey, not to mention boring too, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I jest, but seriously, you know, when we think about that wonderful afterlife for ourselves, you know, I don't want to sit around with that particular vision of just, you know, listening to angels play the lyres and all that. I want to do some really good things on earth.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I mean, it is true, theologically speaking, that the beatific vision and possessing God in the mind is sufficient for our happiness, it satiates our desire completely. But here's the key. Our love of God necessarily involves love of neighbor. And so love of neighbor does not cease in heaven, but continues to exist. And love of neighbor, as we see revealed in sacred scripture for us here on earth, involves intercessory prayer. And so given that love of neighbor continues and, in fact, is perfected for the blessed in heaven, it's reasonable to infer that intercessory prayer, one way in which we can love neighbor, would continue as well.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense. And the way that you lay it out, you know, this is an apologetics book, as you mentioned, and it takes an apologetics type of approach that is very reasonable, insightful, and linear. It makes perfect sense. And I have always thought, Carlo, that the saints are always just waiting there and hoping so much that we will ask them for their help. And, you know, this is my own little mystical experience, but sometimes when I enlist the saints, I feel this jumping for joy and, you know, almost like a rolling up of the sleeves, like, okay, thanks for asking, let's go.
Yeah.
And it's just such a wonderful friendship that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just as we as Christians here on earth are overjoyed and delighted when a fellow Christian trusts us enough and confides in us to request help in intercessory prayer, which is a manifestation of their desire for us to be in friendship with them, how much more those who Christians in heaven who are perfected in that very same love would be overjoyed when we express a desire for them to be in friendship with us. So, of course, they're rolling up their sleeves, ready and excited to help us out.
Yeah, just waiting for us to ask for that help, because, you know, I think that's exactly what Christ, I mean, I know we all would argue this, we faithful Catholics, that that's exactly what Christ wants as well. You know, there's one way to the Father, and that, of course, is through Jesus Christ, but we have all these friends to help us in our walk. And the book is Saints Pray for You from Carlo Broussard. You can find it at shop.catholic.com. And, Carlo, we've got just a couple seconds here. Any final thoughts on this book?
Well, I think the final thought is that this is, again, ordered toward having a relationship with the saints. We want to remove obstacles that are present so that people can enjoy their brothers and sisters in that friendship.
Yeah, let's do it. Get that book, shop.catholic.com, excuse me. Carlo, thank you so much for being with us today. Coming up next on Catholic Connection, we're going to talk about shopping Catholic for Christmas. Yeah, it's that time of the year. Stay with us. Lots more to come.
What does the Eighth Commandment demand of us? The Catholic Catechism says this commandment forbids misrepresenting the truth in our relations with others. This derives from the vocation of holy people to bear witness to their God who is truth and who wills the truth. Offenses against the truth, either by word or deed, are fundamental infidelities to God and thus undermine the foundation of our covenant with Him. The Old Testament tells us God is the source of all truth. His word is truth, as is His law. Jesus Christ is the whole of God's truth made manifest. To follow Christ is to live in the spirit of truth, says the Catechism. Jesus taught His disciples the unequivocal nature of truth when He instructed them, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more is from the evil one." This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of 1 hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me. He says, "Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture." He goes, "I want more." I said, "Do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament?" He said, "Outside of Mass, no." I said, "I think that's the more." See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master, and the Master is Jesus.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo. Later on this hour, because it's Monday, Gail Buckley-Berringer will be here with Catholic Scripture Study International, and she'll give us the Bible verse of the week. But right now, here we are, November 4th, and already we've still got Thanksgiving, but it is never too early to think about Christmas, right? Yes, we think about the Christmas gifts that we want to get. And we've got Brooke Joyner with us, CEO and co-founder of Catholic Owned. And this started something in South Florida, and it seeks to build the new Catholic economy to help faithful Catholics support Catholic-owned businesses. Brooke, I'm so excited to talk about this because I think so many of us, this is something we wish was out there, and now we find out here it is. So welcome to Catholic Connection.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So Brooke, what inspired you? You had a career in business. What inspired you to launch Catholic-owned?
Well, my husband and I, as we were working in another business, you know, this sort of chasm began to grow as we grew in devotion to our Blessed Mother and our Catholic faith. This chasm between where we were working and where we were spending our money just grew. And we realized that, you know, we want to be using our time and treasure to support other Catholics. And from there, really just kicked off from there.
How does Catholic Owned work?
So we have an app, and the app is available in the Apple and Google Play stores. And in there is a really user-friendly directory of businesses. So we, you know, vet the businesses. They agree to our founding pillars. They get listed. And then as a, you know, someone looking to do business with them, you just easily browse that list and find them. And then you get in touch with them directly. We don't do transactions because we're really looking to facilitate that real-life connection and, you know, this network of Catholics, and the app is just a tool, okay. But it really is about connecting.
So it's not really a Catholic eBay. You don't sell things there, but you help people find businesses that are Catholic-owned so that that Catholic economy can really, really thrive. What kind of businesses are in there? It's not just Catholic products, is it?
Right, exactly. It's all business types. So we have B2B, business to business, B2C, local businesses that, you know, they have to come to you to serve you, or national, where they ship or can fulfill virtually. So all the businesses and forms of business you can imagine in a whole economy, our goal is to provide one of those or more for every Catholic need in the United States and God willing beyond.
Wow, that's a very tall order. So how do you
it
do
sure
that?
Is. First, you know, we're consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the work we do is in reparation to her. So that is our really guiding principle. You know, thankfully, the message seems to be catching on, but in terms of how we do it, we entrust it to our Blessed Mother, and we just do the work every day, keep going, because it is a lot. But it must
take a lot of work to do all that research, so wow, I'm so amazed about that. And I mentioned Christmas, and you have launched a Christmastide shopping guide. Tell us a little bit more about that. And then what sets it apart from other gift-giving guides?
Absolutely. The Christmastide Shopping Guide is a digital flipbook, and it actually launched today. It's a real labor of love. The vision for this is you as a shopper, you want to buy gifts for your loved ones for, you know, Feast of St. Nicholas, Christmas, all of the holidays we have coming up. You can use this guide to shop with 37 curated merchants. They sell hundreds of different products, so you can shop for everyone on your list with this guide. It's interactive, so you click the ads, and you're taken directly to the vendor's website. Again, that real-life connection there. The other thing that really sets us apart is our liturgical living guide. This is a section of the magazine's 27 articles. It walks the reader through Advent and Christmastide, with devotional content, reflections on the feast days, and liturgical living tips. And we have beautiful art in there as well. So it's a shopping guide and liturgical living guide in one, accessible on any electronic device.
Now, I know you've got the app, which, again, is available, Catholic-owned, in the Google Play and the Apple Store. Is that where people can access this Christmastide shopping guide?
Yes, they can. If they download the app, they will be sent a copy of it. They can also go to CatholicOwned.com, and there's kind of a banner up top. They can just get access to the Christmastide shopping guide if they only want that. When you, you put in an email, very simple, you'll also receive a unified discount code for all 37 merchants. They all use that same code, but they each offer something special. So you'll get that either way, whether you download the app or just grab the guide on the website.
And I'm on the website right now, it's CatholicOwned.com, and then you can find that Christmastide 2024. It's gorgeous. And you have, I see one right here. For some, a store right in my own neck of the woods. Wow, that's just beautiful. It's really something, and it's got this great lookbook that you can look at right here online or through the app. Again, it's CatholicOwned.com or an app available through the App Store or at Google Play. And, you know, this is just really such a great opportunity for people to help with this. I don't know, we'll call it the Catholic economy, but why does it really matter, Brooke, where shoppers spend their money?
Well, you know, Sherry, our Lord told us where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And that really inspires us to, you know, keep this, the importance of this front and center. We also know that Catholics have such a vast richness of resources available. And so many of them desire to use them for the greater glory of God. And whether that be financial, work experience, cultural resources, we have so much richness. And people really want to use all of that for the advancement of the Catholic community, prosperity of Catholic communities, and, as I mentioned, the greater glory of God. So we think it really does matter. And people have been really responsive, so I think they do too.
You know, and Brooke, it seems like, I mean, as we grow more and more of a secular society, it will matter more and more, don't you think?
Exactly. Because as we touched on in the beginning, that chasm just grows between, you know, you've got to buy things for your family and the companies that you're buying from. They're out there. They're promoting agendas contrary to the Catholic faith. And you know, we can do something about it. So that's where we are, and we're just really grateful to be bringing the mission forward.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, first of all, for doing this, you and your husband, and thank you for being on today. It's Catholic-owned. You can find it at CatholicOwned.com and check out the new Christmastide shopping guide. It's gorgeous, really, really chock full of wonderful, wonderful businesses there. And you can also get the app wherever you get your apps. Brooke, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Sherry. God bless you.
God bless you as well. What a wonderful thing. Don't you love our faith, my friends? It's just so incredible that we have the opportunities to support each other in so many ways. We've got one final segment of Catholic Connection, and it is our Bible verse of the week. Gail Buckley-Berenger will be here with us. Stay tuned. More to come on Catholic Connection.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
You're listening to Catholic Connection. Sherry Brown-Rigg in for Teresa Tomeo. One final segment on today's show. And it's Monday. That means that Gail Buckley-Berringer is with us with Catholic Scripture Study International. And she has our Bible verse of the week. I can't wait to find out what it is, Gail.
Okay. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Well, today it's from chapter 2, verse 25, and it says, I will restore to you the years which the locust has eaten. Now, I know, Sherry, you probably think that's a strange verse that I chose for today. But, you know, this verse is very special to me. 30 years ago, when I went through it, I went through this profound spiritual conversion of heart. Mm-hmm. And the Lord led me to these certain passages in the Bible. And this was one of the verses. And, you know, at that time, I really didn't know Scripture that there. Well, I'm sure if I'd read this verse a day earlier, I wouldn't have had any idea what it meant. But on that day, Jesus led me to this verse. He I don't know how to explain it, but he illuminated my mind and my heart to understand it and to at least understand how it, you know, related to me. And in this passage, God is speaking to his chosen people, the Israelites, who, you know, they had turned their backs on him and they had been very sinful. So God let them suffer the consequences of their actions or their sins. And one of the things that happened to them is that their crops had been destroyed by a locust invasion. And we know from, you know, later on in verse 12, it says that this devastation of the grapevines and the fruit trees alone would have taken years to redevelop. So the people were suffering from the loss of income from their crops as well as food shortage, and they were hungry. And what do we usually do when we're suffering? Well, most of us repent and turn to God. You know, mm-hmm. We pray and we ask God to help us. It's really sad, Sherry, that so often that's the way it is, that we don't remember God until we're in trouble.
Yeah.
And then we turn to him. And that's really sad. But anyway, this is what was happening to me. I was suffering, and he was telling me by leading me to this verse that for the first time in a long time, you know, I prayed and I asked for forgiveness. And even though I had strayed far from him and I had been living a materialistic and, you know, like worldly life, he was telling me, just as he told the Israelites, to not look back and be concerned about the past, because he was going to restore what the locusts had eaten. In my case, the God was not talking about fruit trees and crops, but he was telling me that all those years that I had been wasted by my worldly living, they were going to be restored to me, and only God can do that, you know? So, you know, Oscar Wilde once said that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. So I think the lesson that we can take from this is that, you know, from this verse, is to remember that there's a way out, you know, there's a way out of our misery. If we repent, Christ forgives us, and he gives us a new beginning. You know, and thanks be to God that we have his church and the sacrament of confession, you know, where we can go and have our sins absolved, wiped away, and, you know, have a clean slate. You know, I just thank God that he brought me home to the Catholic Church where I can have these sacraments, you know, to restore my soul. You know, what a wonderful gift. you know, one we use often.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. Yeah, I was Methodist for many, many years, and I was amazed when I discovered that opportunity for confession, reconciliation, to have those sins forgiven and to start anew. You know, it's one of the most incredible sacraments that we have outside the Eucharist,
really
the source
is.
And summit of our faith. It's amazing.
Really is. And to be able to hear the priest say, in persona Christi, you know, your sins have been forgiven. Oh, what a gift. I mean, because before, you know, you would pray and you really didn't know, you know. But to hear him say that was just a wonderful gift, you know. And you know, if we, even venial sins, we should go and confess those, because, you know, they can build up like tartar on your teeth. And what happens when tartar builds up on your teeth? They decay, you know. So that's the way I look at it. We need to go and confess the venial sins before we end up committing a mortal sin, because that's such a
great tartar on the teeth. Yeah. And I love this verse too, because it makes me think of the last time that I actually went to confession, which was last Saturday. And I confessed a sin that I had kind of forgotten about from years and years ago, from when I was in my 20s. And it was just amazing. When you talk about this verse, that's exactly it. I will restore you to you the years which the locust has eaten, because I had such shame about that. And after I was absolved, Gail, I actually went, woohoo!
I know. It's just wonderful. It's such a great relief, you know, like a big burden has been lifted, that sometimes, like you said, we don't even remember, and then it comes to mind, and you think, oh my gosh, you know. And it's a wonderful gift. And, you know, so, you know, our goal is to get to heaven. And so for those listening, go to confession, you know, on a regular basis. I mark it on my calendar and
so
try to
I.
go every
yeah.
4 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gail, thank you so much for being with us. I love this verse, Joel 2, chapter 2, verse 25. Look it up. Gail Buckley Barringer. She is with Catholic Scripture Study International. I'm Sherry Brownrigg. Blessings for you on this Monday. And thanks for listening to Catholic Connection.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.